We're holding on Nun Omid Bey's about 11 lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of discussing as follows. When it comes to most areas in the Torah, there's no problem having one limud from another and then a third limud from the second, and we can have a chain. We can have a chain as long as we want. But when it comes to Kodshim, the Gemara established that in many cases you can't do that. Ein lamed lamed min alamed b'kodshim. When you learn something, you learn from Din A to B in Kodshim, not necessarily you can then learn from B to C. So there are four relevant Midas Shatur and Nidreshes behind that the Gemara has been discussing, Hekesh, Zera Shava, Kavah Chomer, and Binyan Av, and the question is which ones can be on top of other ones and which ones can't. So for example, we said you can't have a Hekesh on top of a Hekesh. If you have a Hekesh from Carbon 1 to Carbon 2, you cannot then also have a Hekesh from Carbon 2 to Carbon 3. By Kodeshim, it doesn't work.
Okay.
So the Gemara has been going through. So you have 16 possibilities. So far, the Gemara has gone through 11 of them. When it comes to Dover Alamed, when it comes to you learn something from a Hekesh, can you learn it? Can you learn from that with another Hekesh? No. Can you learn from it with a Gzeira Shava? Also not. Can you learn with it from a Kavah Chomer? Yes. A Binyan Av, the Gemara had left as Teku. And the Gemara goes through one by one. So we went through the four possibilities with Hekesh. We went through the four possibilities with Gzeira Shava. We went through three out of the four possibilities where the first step is a Kavah Chomer. Now we're up to the fourth one, which is, if your first step was a Kavah Chomer, can the second step be a Binyan Av? So that's what the Gemara says. Dovra alamed b'Kavah Chomer, ma'ushi alamed b'Binyan Av. So if you learned Korban 2 from Korban 1, Din 2.
All these things apply only to Kodshim.
Only by Kodshim. Okay. Uniquely by Kodshim, yeah.
Okay.
And the point is, the Gemara had said, because otherwise, that, like this, we find by Kodshim, there's a lot of repetitiousness. There's a lot of things that are said over and over by Kodshim, much more so than you have in other areas of Torah. So that tells, and the Gemara had pointed out at the beginning of the Sugya, that in particular, if some of these things worked, there would have been things the Torah didn't need to say. The Torah is, after all, very economical with words, and we would have learned it by one of these midas. For example, the Gemara had said at the beginning, it could have not said by a Korban Osham that it has to be shechted in the same place as the Ola and the Chatas, which is a Hekesh, and we could have learned it by a Hekesh from Chatas, which in turn we learned from a Hekesh from Ola. Why not? Because you can't do a Hekesh and then another Hekesh.
What is the explanation why you can't have a double Hekesh?
So that's the thing. Is the very fact that we see that the Torah phrases it this way, the very fact that the Torah puts in so many extra words and repeats by each Korban most of the details, teaches us that we see therefore that the Torah wants to restrict how you can learn things from one thing from another. Kashrus, maybe one reason is because by Korbanos we find so many differences between different types of Korbanos. You have different differences in where the blood is applied, and differences where they can be eaten, and differences who can eat them, and so on and so forth. If we were going to just freely do lamed min alamed, we'd end up with a balagan. We'd end up with anything that we tried to learn about a particular din with Korbanos. We'd find there's some other things from which we learn with one of the midas shatur and addresses behind that'll be different. That'd be, or two or three of them or whatever, that'll be different. Okay. So, Dovra alamed b'kava chomer ma'ushi alamed b'vinyin av. Amr b'yimiya toshra. So the Bimini says, I'll bring you a proof from the following case. Now, we know that a bird that's brought for a korban instead of doing shchita, we do malika. The kohen cuts through the neck of it with his fingernail. We're going to learn about the details of that in the next parak. So now we have like this. The Torah tells us that if a person, generally speaking, if a person eats something that's not kosher, he doesn't become tamei. From it, midrabanan, yes, if a person eats food that's tamei, then he becomes tamei. But the Raya said there's no such thing. With the exception of if a person eats the nevela of a kosher bird, so a kosher bird that died without a proper shchita, when a person eats it, as he's swallowing it, he becomes tamei. And the clothing that he's wearing or anything that he's touching at the time becomes tamei. So the Mishnah says, and we're going to have a whole sugya about it later on Daf Samachtes, we're going to talk all about it. But the Mishnah says, Molak the Nimsa Strefa, if the Kohen did Malika on the bird, and it turned out to be Trefa, so it's not a valid Korban, but on the other hand, Malika was done. Reb Meir Omer, Eina Matamah B'Resabliya. Reb Meir says, it's not going to be Matamah, a person who swallows it. Aye, it's a Trefa. Doesn't matter, because it's not a Nevela anymore, because it was, now, normally it would be considered a Nevela, because Malika is not Shchita. But Reb Meir is saying, Malika is enough to take away the Isser of Nevela from it. And therefore, so now it's only a tereza, and a tereza is not matame when a person swallows it. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a matame based on Leah. Rabbi Yehuda says it is matame, because the fact is, it was, malika was done, it's not shchita. Mela, if it was not a tereza, then fine. The Torah gives a special heter for the kohenim to eat a bird that was killed with malika. But here where it's tereza, and they can't eat it anyway, then Rabbi Yehuda holds it's matame. For that matter, Rashi points out, when we learn the Sylvia about it later on Daf Samach Tes, Rabbi Yehuda points out there that actually the same thing, a chulin bird that was shechted, a normal shita, and it turned out to be trefa, Rabbi Yehuda would also say in the time of Reis Abriya. Just the fact that it was shechted, in other words, doesn't take away the fact, because there's an issur trefa on it, therefore Rabbi Yehuda says that's reason enough for it to be still be matame when the person swallows. Now, Omer Meir said, a Meir says, I'll tell you why I say that it's not matanik. Kavachomer, because I'm going to make a kavachomer. Uman nivas behema shematame magul masa. Madaf, the dead body of an animal, is matame when a person touches it or when a person carries it. And shchitosim et aheres trefosim et umasa. And yet, if you have an animal that was trefa, but you gave it a proper shchita, then it doesn't have tumas nevela anymore. Now, if you touch the body of that animal, you don't become tame. Because the whole din of Tumas Nevela applies only if it died without proper shchita. So Nevela Schoifshe in the time of Magov Masa continues a mayor. A Nevela of a dead bird, which is not Matame, a person touches it, a person carries it, nothing happens to him. The only way that thing can be Matame is by swallowing it. Shouldn't it be a Kavachomer that shechting it, even if it's Trefa, should prevent it from being, should being Matame? So therefore, we're using the Kavachomer. And now he continues on top of that Kavachomer. Now, so fine, that Kavachomer would cover a case where the bird is shechted. What about in this case where Malika was done? So now he says, Mamatzinu. Now we can do a Mamatzinu, which is another name for a binyan ab, b'shchita, shemachashavta ba'achilosa. We see that shchita of an animal or a bird of chulin, which makes it mutter to eat, the taheres shefosa mitumasa, and the result is that even though that bird, or even though the animal, or now based on Rameh's Kavachoyma, the bird is not metame anymore, ach Malika, shemachashavta ba'achilosa, the taher shefosa mitumasa. Then also Malika, in the case of a bird of a korban, Malika makes it, in the case of a chata sa'if specifically, the Malika makes it able to be eaten, therefore, by the same mamatzina, to tire trefasim et umasa. It should be able to be matahar, that even though it was trefa, nevertheless it won't make the person tome when he swallows it. So the mayor is saying, in other words, why am I saying that it works? And it's not matame when a person swallows it, is because I have a kavachomer, and on top of that kavachomer, I have a binyan av. And then the Mishnah continued. Now Tosfos points out that still the fact is a nivlas behema is not matame when he's swallowing. So Rashi points out that the Gemara itself is going to say actually that really he's not completely basing himself on later on. The Gemara is going to say that with some of these things we're not completely basing them ourselves on a kavachomer and a binyan av. We'll really be learning later on. And the sugya on the subject is really the different pasuk zos tohoras and behema va oif, from which a mayor learns a hekesh. But there's a similarity between a behema and an oif, and therefore that what applies to one applies to the other. And then again, he can use his mamatzinu to say that malika will be included as well. Okay, and then the Mishnah continues. There is a third opinion on the subject. Rabbi Yossi says no. Diet nivlas behema tahara. Fine, you want to say your kavachomer, but you still have to apply the rule of diet. You can't make it stronger than what you're learning from. Shishchitosim etahauta v'lo melikaso. Where only shchita is matar an animal, not malika. Which okay, there's never malika by an animal, but the point is, so you have three opinions. Rabbi Meir holds that whether the bird was shechted or whether it was chulin and was shechted or whether it was chodshim and was done malika. Either way, if it's trefa, then a person does not become tummy from swallowing it. Rabbi Yehuda holds either way, whether it was shechted as chulin or done malika as a korban. Either way, if it's trefa, it is matame, a person who swallows it. And Rabbi Yossi says, I agree with the mayor that if it was shechted, then it won't be matame. But I disagree as far as malika, because you want to learn from a kavachomer, and after all, that kavachomer is only going to take you so far, and is only going to include shchita, not malika, which you never have by a bird. So the point is, we see that according to Rav Meir, at least you can do that. You can do a you can do a you You can do a kavachomer and then learn from that in turn with a binyan av, because that's what he's doing, making a kavachomer from an animal to a bird, and then making a binyan av from shchita to melissa. However, the Gemara says, Veloyhi, that's not so. Hossam to heavy he meshchita the pulim kaasyan, because even if you were going to say that not hossam to heavy he, even if it were to be that he learns it by a binyan av, the fact is meshchita to chulin kaasyan. Ultimately, the beginning of all of this discussion starts from shchita of chulin, and he we've been saying all along this, these rules about lamed min alamed are within kodshin. Now, so this is an example where we have one end of it is in chulin and the other end of it is in kodshin. So Rashi says like this. Previously on Daf Nun, the Gemara had brought that the Papa had said that doesn't matter. We go according to the Lamed, not according to the Milamed. When we have something where one of the Limudim goes from Chulin to Kodshin, we don't care about that we're learning from Chulin. We care about the fact that we're learning to Kodshin, and therefore the rules of our Sylvia are going to be applied. And if we see the Papa had said it in connection with the point, for example, that when you have a Zeva Shava, can you then learn from that to something else with a Hekek? And we had an example over there learning from Meiser of grain to a Shlomim, and then from there to a Toja, and then from there with a Hekesh to a Toja. And the Papa had said that shows that you could do that. You're beginning to learn from Maisa Dogon, which is Chulin. Rav Papa said that doesn't matter. The Lomed, what you're learning to, is within Kodshim, and then what you're learning from that to something else is also within Kodshim. Mazutra had disagreed with that. Therefore, Rashi says, when the Gemara is saying over here that this is not a proof, then this would only be according to Mazutra. According to Rav Papa, it would be a valid proof, and you could in fact do a Kavachomer, and then a Binyan Av from that. Tosfos, however, disagrees. And says that if that's the case, the Gemara should have said so. The Gemara should have Shittim Kubetza says that then the Gemara should have pointed that out. Every previous time when the Gemara made that point, that according to the point of a Papa versus according to Mazutra, then the Gemara pointed that out. Here the Gemara does not say any such thing. Therefore, no, even according to Rav Papa, it wouldn't work over here. Because what are we doing? Even according to Rav Papa, it wouldn't work over here. Because Rav Papa agrees that where the entire chos limud is chulin, even though you're ending up in kodshin, then for sure then we don't have this rule of double things anyway. And here, what are we doing? We're going from shchita of chulin to of a behema, and then going from that to shchita of chulin of a bird, and then you want to learn from that to malika of a bird, which is a korban. So the entire chos limud, the entire chos kavachomer is outside of kodshin. So therefore, so that doesn't show that within Kodshim, we would be able to do such a thing. So it comes out in the short, in other words, in this case, according to Rashi, the Papa will say it works, and Mazutra will say it won't, and according to the Shittim Kubetzes, and the Mephoshim will explain that Tosfos would say the same thing, that in fact it remains a suffix even according to the Papa. Okay. Next, the Gemara says, Dover Alamed Binyan Av, how about if the first stave was with a binyan av, can we learn from it with any of the other four ones? This is also an example, by the way, we were talking about yesterday, about how the editorial completion of the Gemara, when they first brought these up in the Beis Medrash, they would have brought them each up individually. Because after all, each one individually, maybe you could find a proof for, just as the Gemara had done so far with all the 12 of them. When it's lumping them all together like this, ultimately it's because 3 out of the 4 of them we're not going to answer, and we're going to propose that at least we can answer one of them. So therefore, when Ravina and Ravashi edited the Gemara and put it together as we have it, the Pashtos, we can assume they just collapsed it into one, rather than having to repeat over again this Vinyan Ab Maushi Lama Behekesh Tefu, Vinyan Ab Maushi Lama Zeta Shava Tefu. So they just put it into this. So the Gemara says, Shok mi hachvada. At least we should be able to answer one of them, one of the four, that if you have a binyan av, you can use another binyan av from that. So fine, we don't have a proof one way or the other. As far as if it was binyan av, can we then use a hekesh? Can we then use a gzeder shava? Can we then use a kavafimer? But at least we should be able to show an example where we have a binyan av and then another binyan av. So the later on in the Masechta, it talks about it talks about like this. We've touched on this in the Masechta before. You have things that are not supposed to go on the Mizbeach. But b'diavad, if they went on the Mizbeach, then we say in olu la yerdu. If they went on the Mizbeach, we don't take them down. We allow them to be burnt over there. So now the Mishnah says there, or Braisa says, mitnei ma omru lon b'dam kosher. Why are we saying that if the blood was left overnight, which it became possible by Shvias Chama, and nevertheless we say it's kosher, that even though he's not supposed to sprinkle it at that point, if he does, then b'diavad the korban is kosher. In effect, we say olu la yerdu. If it goes to the mizbeach, we don't take it down. Now, obviously, we're not going to necessarily take it down. We're not going to necessarily scrape it off the mizbeach. But the point is, in other words, that it's considered it belongs to the mizbeach, and therefore the korban is going to eat kosher b'diavad. The reason is shari lon ve'emurin kosher. The reason is because with the emurin, we see if they were left over, if they were left over overnight, and they were placed on the mizbeach, then also olu la yerdu. So even though, again, they're not supposed to be left out overnight, and if they do, they become possible by Alois HaShachar. Nevertheless, if the evidence you went to burn them, then it's still acceptable, and the meat of the korban can be eaten. And then the Braisa continues, Lon ve'emurin kosher. How in turn do we know that? How do we know that by the emurin, if they were left over, that the evidence is kosher? Shari lon ve'basa kosher. The reason is, because after all, if the meat was left over, then it's completely kosher, because after all, a shlomim, and certain other korbanos are meant to be eaten for 2 days. So if you shechted the korban on Tuesday, then even the hatzchila, you can be leaving over from the meat of the korban till Wednesday. So therefore, because of that, then we're going to make a mamatzinu from that to the emurim, and from that in turn to the blood. So we see that there's an example of two mamatzinus, two binyan abs, one after the other. And the braisa continues. Let's go through other examples of imolu lo yerdu. So the general rule is, we're going to learn about this olu lo yerdu business much later in the Masechta, but there's a basic idea, that there are certain psulim, which even though it's possible, nevertheless, if it goes on the Mizbeach, we still leave it there, it's still considered to belong to the Mizbeach. And before we get to that, actually, Tosfos points out, wait a second, who says that we have a binyan ab from, what are you telling me? So we have a binyan ab from the meat, which you can l'hatchila leave over, to the emurim, which you can't, but nevertheless, the diyeved der kosher, and then from that to the blood, and therefore you're trying to prove that we can do a double binyan ab. Why not just say we go straight from the blood to the, why not just say we go straight from the meat to the blood? Why is the blood kosher? Because we draw an analogy between it and the meat, which can be left over. Why do we need to have the emurim in the middle? So Tosfos says, because the fact is that the blood to be left over is actually something you're not supposed to do. The meat, l'chatchila, you could be leaving over. So you can't really learn the Gemara itself is going to point out in a couple of lines that you can't learn davar shaloi b'hechsher. You can't really learn davar shaloi b'hechsher, something which is not the kosher way of doing it, namely to leave the blood over and it to be possible, and nevertheless to say that b'diavad it's okay. You can't learn that from the meat, which is the right way to do it, l'chatchila, because a shlomim is meant to be eaten for two nights. So to go through emurim, fine. The fact is that emurim are not matter the korban. The korban is already kosher by that point, by the time the emurim are left over. So we can't really learn directly from basar to dam, and therefore we need to go by way of emurim, and therefore that shows that you can have a binyan ab on top of a binyan ab. Shittim Kubrexa says it differently. Because, again, a similar, but saying it in a different way, the fact is, the meat is complete kosher. Because we're talking about a shlomim, which can be eaten for 2 days. So it's completely kosher to leave over the meat, so you don't really want to learn that the blood that's not the hechsher should be learned from that. So we have to go by way of emurim. So continuing, the Gemara brings the rest of the Braisa. Let's go through a number of other cases where a korban or part of it is kosher and never is posel, and nevertheless an olah lo yerid. Yotze, how about if the emurim of the korbanos or the parts of an oilo or whatever were taken out of the azara and then they were brought back in and then they were placed on the mizbeach? How do we know we leave them there? So that we also do hoil the yotze kosher b'bama, because we find there is an example where yotze is kosher for a korban, namely by a bama during the periods of Jewish history when you were allowed to bring a korban wherever you want. then we could build your own private bummer and bring a korban on there. There's no such thing. There's no mechitza around it necessarily, unlike by the Mizbeach, unlike by the Mishkan and the Beis Mikdash, where there's an Azara, and therefore, so there's no concept of Yotze over there. So that's good enough reason to say that Yotze is considered to have enough of a connection with the Mizbeach, that therefore you're allowed to burn it there. That they were allowed to, if it went up there, then you're going to leave it there. Tommy, how about if the pieces of the korban became tummy? Why should we, if they're placed on the Mizbeach, why is it in Olo Yered? The reason is Hoga Horta Baba de Sibra. Because again, we find an exception. We find a case where the Koyanim are tummy, and we allow them to do the Avodah by a korban Sibra. So therefore that's good enough reason for us to say that Tuma is not completely excluded from the Mizbeach. Okay, how about chutzlis mana? What if during one of the avodas he had a thought of chutzlis mana, which makes the korban people? Why do we say then that it's a piece of resort on the mizbeach from olah loyered? The reason is hola meratza lepigulay, because after all, there is, once the blood is sprinkled, as we learned when we learned the whole topic of pigul, once the blood is sprinkled, the sprinkling has a significance in halacha. It's called sprinkling, and at that point now the korban is accepted, but accepted in the sense that now officially it becomes pigul. Because as we learned before, when he has in mind during the Shchita or the Kabbalah or whatever, he has a thought of chutzlis mana, it doesn't yet become pigul by virtue of that. It becomes pigul only when he actually does a proper zrika without any other machshavas and with the various other details that we learned about. The point is, therefore, that the zrika over here is considered something significant and it makes it pigul, and therefore that's reason enough that something that a korban that became pigul is still considered to have enough of a connection to the mizbeach that in olo lo yerim. Okay, chutz l'mekoymei. How about if you had thought of chutz l'mekoymei, which makes the korban possible, as we learned before? And the answer is, again, that will be left on the mizbeach. But the evidence, hoga hukesh l'chutz l'zmanoi, because we have a hekesh between chutz l'mekoymei and chutz l'zmanoi, because we learned earlier in the Masechta that there was a pasuk in Parashat Tzav, which refers to both of them back to back. Okay, shekiblu psulim v'zoku as daman, v'zoku daman. How about the case where a person did the Kabbalah or the Zirika, and we still say by such things in olah loyered? And the answer is b'hana psulim, because olah the sibur. Because we're not talking about any kind of psulim, we're talking about specifically the psulim, such as a kohen who's tame, who is capable of doing the avodah sibur. So we see, therefore, so the point is, so all of that about all the rest of the psulim was kind of a side thing. But the point is, in other words, we see that we see that you can learn a double binyan av. You can learn from the meat to the emurim, that if they were left over, and from the emurim to the blood. So that would show that would look. However, the Gemara asks, how can you learn something which is the perfectly kosher way to do even the hachshila and learn from something and learn from it something which is not the hachshira? The meat, after all, is perfectly it's perfectly fine to leave it over for the next day because that's the mitzvah, because the shlomim can eat it for 2 days. And then how are you learning from that to the emurim with the hachshila? You're supposed to burn them that day, and only b'diavad if you left them overnight and they became possible by Alois HaShachar, then you can burn them afterwards because he molo lo yerid. And similarly, it actually says, similarly, what are you saying that we can learn that Yotze, that it was taken out of the Azara, that the Dieved, if we brought it back in and put it on the Zayach, we'll leave it over there because we can learn that from the Bama? That's also, by definition, a Bama, there's no Yotze. So how are you learning? Dover Shaloi Behechshere, something which is the wrong thing to do, to take it out of the Azara and bring it back in from the Bama, where there's no issue of that in the first place. It's perfectly kosher to do that. And the answer is, it's not really. Tana mizvoyz torasa ola riba samathlay. The truth is, the Tana is not really learning from, his binyan ab on top of a binyan ab. Really, he's relying on the fact that the pasuk says, zoyz torasa ola, which is, we learn from that, torah achas l'chola olas, that in general, things that go on the mizbeach, lo yerdu, and then you have certain miyutim in the psukim over there, from which we learn certain kind of psulim that are taken off, but ultimately, we're not really learning it from a binyan ab, and then a binyan ab, we're learning it from the fact that it says, zoyz and it means in general things that are placed on the Mizbeach don't go down. So that means, in other words, the fact that the Braisa had said we learn from binyan ab to from meat to emurim, and then from another binyan ab from emurim to blood is really only an asmachta. Well, if it's really only an asmachta and we're not really learning from that, then it means, in other words, that doesn't prove that we could do a binyan ab and then another binyan ab. So it comes out, in other words, it would be a suffix as well. However, However, the Ramaphosian will point out that, after all, if that's the case, then that may be. But the fact is that we are bringing it as an asmachta. That shows it has some validity. And asmachta is, after all, not just some random thing where we find a pasuk and attach whatever we want to it. So that does show maybe that in fact, you could do a binyan av and then another binyan av. It's true that in this particular case, we're not doing that. We're actually learning instead from Zoyz Teres Ola, but the very fact that we can bring it as an asmachta shows that it has validity. So, and in fact, there's a Loshen in Tosfos at the top of the Amud, where Tosfos says, Heichi Dayik, Dover Alamud, Tosfos says on the third line of the third and fourth line of our Amud, the Dover Alamud Bivininab, Choser Malamud Bivininab, Kidamaska Bishmaita, that we see that the Sugya ends up saying that from a Binyan Ab, you could learn another Binyan Ab. So it comes out, according to Tosfos, the Gemara has not slogged that up completely. We're saying this particular din of what's in Olo Lo Yodu and whatnot, we're learning is only an asmachta here, and really we're learning it from Zoyz Teres Ola. But we're not completely excluding the idea that in fact we could do a binyan ab on top of a binyan ab at a point of Tosfos from Tosfos's Loshen. It implies that we do stay with that. So that's that then. So of the 16 possibilities then, so we have some of them of the different possibilities of Lomid Min Alomid. Some of them we say are Malamed. For example, we said if we learn from a Hekesh, you can then learn from that Hekesh. You can then use that Hekesh as the basis for a Kavachomer. Similarly, we said if you have a Gzera Shava, if you learned one thing from a Gzera Shava, you can learn something else from it with another Gzera Shava or with a Kavachomer. And if you learn from a Kavachomer, you can learn from it with a Gzera Shava or another Kavachomer. Then we had a number of cases where we said definitely Einim Malamed. It doesn't work. A Hekesh and then another Hekesh. A Hekesh and then a Gzera Shava. And then we had a few cases where, the Gemara had said it's a suffix. If we learn from a Gzeira Shava, can we learn from it with a Hekish? Can we learn from it with a Kavu Chomer? That would so we have some cases we said where the Gemara itself had left it as Teiku. If you learn from a Hekish, can you then learn from it with a Binyan Ab? If you learn from a Gzeira Shava, can you learn from it with a Binyan Ab? If you learn from a Binyan Ab, can you learn with a Hekish or Gzeira Shava or Kavu Chomer? Those the Gemara had all left as Suffolk. And then we have a few of them where there's different opinions about whether it's Suffolk or whether it can work. We have a Papa versus Mazutra, and then we have in some cases Rashi versus Tosfos in understanding of the Gemara and in understanding of the Amudim that we lost. So that covers all of that. Okay. New topic. The Mishnah had said Shirei Adam Chola, the leftover. We said after the in the case of we said Purim Besorah Yom Kippurim, the bull that the Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur. And the sir that he brings. So we said, Shitasim Matsafen, the Kibbul Dolan, the Slisharat Matsafen, and that led us into this whole discussion, how we know that they're in the Tsafen, and how we know it's Ma'akiv, et cetera, et cetera. And now, the Mishnah had said, after he does the sprinklings, Al Bein Abandim, Al Parichas, Al Mizbah Hazav, and Matona Achas Men Ma'akovis, then he said, Shirei Adam Chola, the leftover of the blood he pours on the Yisod Ma'arovi Shom Mizbech HaChitzen. So let's work out now how we know that it has to be poured on the Yisod Ma'arovi. So my timer. Why specifically the Western Yisod? Now we have to realize that later on in the parak we're going to discuss the configuration of the Yisod. The Mizbeach was built. We're going to talk about there. It was built on the borderline between Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin. It had a Yisod. It had a ledge built into it around the bottom of it. Later on in the parak we're going to learn exactly how the Mizbeach was built. But the point is, it had this ledge sticking out, on the bottom. In the Beis Mikdash, at least, it didn't have it going around all four sides. Maybe in the Mishkan it did. It doesn't say one way or the other. But in the Beis Mikdash, at any rate, there was a Yisod only on two full sides. The Yisod ran along the entire western side of the Mizbeach and along the entire northern side. Then you had it stuck out towards the south and towards the east. We'll talk about later on Daphne and Gimel. That's a shame. We'll talk about exactly how much it stuck out and what it was actually shaped. Anyway, the point is, he was saying that he would pour the shirayim, the leftover of the blood from the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, he would pour on the western side of the Yisod. So my time, and the reason is, Omar Kro, because the pasuk says, oh, Yisod Mizbah Ha'ola, Asha Pesach Ha'oyomore, that he should pour it onto the Yisod. This is the pasuk that's talking about the Parakoy Mashiach. We'll talk about later on how we know from that to the Korbanos of Yom Kippur. But first, when it talks about Mashiach, the pasuk says that he should pour the rest of the blood el yisoid mizbach ha'olam asher pesach ha'olamoyin to the yisoid of the mizbeach of the olam, meaning the outer mizbeach, which is in front of the olamoyin. So why does it have to say asher pesach ha'olamoyin? Means ahu depoga bereisha, means he has to pour it on the side which he encounters first. Now, the entrance of the olamoyin is on the east side. The heichol, or it's equivalent to the Mishkan. The Kodesh Kedoshim was towards the west. The entrance was towards the east. So when the Kohen Gadol walks out of the door of the heichol, the first thing he sees, or the first side of the mizbeach that he sees, is the western side. So that's where he has to put the blood. Later on Daphne and Bays, the Gemara is going to explain how we know that this applies to the Korbanos of Yom Kippur as well. Tosfos points out that Rashi does not have the words in his Girsa, Hahu Depoga Bereshit. That's the one that he encounters first. Because that would imply that the reason why he has to do that one is because of a concept called Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvah. That when you have a mitzvah to do, you don't set it aside to do something else. So here, if we said it's a matter of Ahud Depoga Bereshah, it would mean because that's the first one that he encounters, therefore he has a mitzvah to do that one so that he doesn't pass it by and do a different side. However, Tosfos has some problems with that, and actually part of Tosfos' problem is, in fact, why indeed? So why do we need the pasuk? If we have the concept Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos, then we don't need the pasuk to tell us specifically over here that you should do it on the western side. It would automatically be because of that. So Tosfos says over here that Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos comes into play only when you have two possible mitzvahs. And examples of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos is, for example, so you have examples of it in Kodshim, you have examples of it in day-to-day life. For example, you have to put your tefillin bag in such a way that you're going to take out the shoyad first. Because you're supposed to put on the shoyad before the shol rosh, but they are two separate mitzvahs. If you were to take out the shol rosh first, the fact is you're not supposed to put on the shol rosh until you put on the shoyad, and the result was it would be that you're bypassing it. So therefore, you have to begin with take out the shoyad first rather than take out the shol rosh and then bypass it and take out the shoyad. Similarly, you have a concept as far as talus and tefillin. You're supposed to put on the talus first. On the other hand, if it happens for whatever reason that you took out the tefillin first, then you're supposed to put them on first because again, Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos. You shouldn't set that mitzvah aside to do a different mitzvah. So now, Tosfos says that maybe the concept of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos applies. You have, like in those examples, you have two mitzvahs in front of you, shol yad and shol rosh, or talus and tefillin. So then, which one should you do first is Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos, do the first one that you have in front of you. But here, we're not talking about it. It's not two different mitzvahs. It's where should you pour it, on this side or on that side? So Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos wouldn't necessarily apply. Now, that's over here, Tosfos says. However, there's a relevant Tosfos, Yuri Nashas, from Akiva Eger, refers to a relevant Tosfos in Megillah that discusses this point and says not so. The Gemara there is discussing, when you have an Ibruyer, we have two Adars, which Adar should you lay in the Megillah in? And you have an opinion that it should be read during first Adar. Rabbi Eliezer says first Adar because Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos. Now there it's not two different mitzvahs; it's one mitzvah to lay in the Megillah. And yet Rabbi Eliezer is telling us that you do it in the first one. So Tosfos gives a couple of answers over there. First of all, that we still need the pasuk over here in order to tell us that if you don't pour that if you pour it here, we're saying the pasuk is telling us that fine Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos would tell us that you have to pour it on the first yisoid that you see. But let's say you did it someplace else. Maybe it would work. No, then we need the pasuk over here to tell us that in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of doing shirayim, now it's not ma'akiv in leinos and la'ikiv, but nevertheless, if you want to do the mitzvah of shirayim properly, it has to be on the yisoid. And then a related answer would be that the pasuk tells you that if you poured it any place else on any other part of the yisoid also, then he wouldn't be fulfilling the mitzvah. There's further discussion about it among various achronim about ins and outs of these concepts of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos, when we apply these rules and when not. Another point over here is that maybe Tosfos is saying you can't say that Ein Ma'avirin should establish a place where something needs to be done, but when you have two mitzvahs in front of you, or when you're trying to decide when the time is to do the mitzvah, Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos would maybe come into play. Okay. In any case, so then we're saying, so again, if we have the girsa with the words hahu depoga bereisha, means that it's point of ein ma'avirin al mitzvahs. If you don't have those words, then it means it's xeris hakosim, that this is how it has to be on the western side. The reason in turn could be because ein ma'avirin al mitzvahs, or as Tosfos is saying, it might not be, it might be that the pasuk is needed to tell us a detail that we wouldn't know about that concept without it. Okay. So now the Gemara brings in this connection. There are five psukim that all say that the leftovers of the blood of a chatos are poured onto the yisod and the zbeach ha'olah. You have like this. You have the parakoi mashiach. You have back to back. You have five places. You have five sections that talk about various kinds of chatos. You have the parakoi mashiach where he made a mistake in halacha and followed it as we learned in Horius. You have the parhelam davashal tzibur where the Sanhedrin made such a mistake. You have where nosi violates a mitzvah that would make him chayiv taras if it was b'mezid. With him, as we learned in Horius, it doesn't have to be that he paskin for himself only, just that he did it, same as a regular yid, but there's a special korban that he brings then, as we learned in Horius, a male goat. Then you have an individual person, not a king, does such an aveda, then there's two possibilities. Either he brings a female goat or a female sheep. So you have five sections that the Torah says back to back there. In Parshas Vayikra, every one of them, it gives the details of the korban, and every one of them, it says, and by every one of them, it says that the shirayim have to be poured onto the yisod. By the first three, by the two ones where the blood is brought into the heichal, the par koin mashiach and the par helam davashal tzibur, as well as by the sur of the nosi, it says by all of them that the blood is to be poured al yisod mizbach ha'olah. And then the other two, the two cases of the individual person's korban, it just says, oh, yisod hamizbeach. So now we're going to discuss why it says five times. What are we learning from each of those five times? So first we're going to go through the first three where it says, oh, yisod mizbeach ha'olah. So actually we're going to be going through only the first three. Where the fact that it says by the other two, oh, yisod hamizbeach, fine, that tells you exactly that, that it has to be poured onto the yisod. But why does the Torah repeat over and over again by the chatas of the, by the par koin mashiach, and by the par helam davashal tzibur, and by the chatas of a nasi? In each case, why does the Torah stress again and again that it's the yisod of mizbeach ha'olah? So this is what we're going to dash in. So the first one, oh, yisod mizbeach ha'olah, the first time it says that means v'lo yisod mizbeach ha'pnimi. Means don't pour it onto the yisod of the inner mizbeach. Does the inner mizbeach even have a yisod? That's the next thing. We're going to say it doesn't. But you shouldn't think that in other words, here, this korban, the blood was applied to the inner mizbeach. Maybe the shirayim also have to be poured someplace on the inner mizbeach. So the first words of yisod mizbeach oila tells us that not, because the mizbeach oila means the outer mizbeach on which oilas are offered. Next, the second time it says that yisod mizbeach oila means b'chal, ein lo yisod, l'pnimi atzmai. The inner mizbeach doesn't even have a yisod. In other words, because why does it need to repeat it again? So the first one tells us don't think to pour it over there. The second one tells us, even if you thought that you should pour it over there, the fact is there is no yisod over there. When you build the mizbeach ha'pnimi, do not build it with a yisod. And then when it says a third time, oh, yisod mizbeach ha'olah, that means 10 yisod the mizbeach sha'olah. That means give the mizbeach of the oila a yisoid. Meaning, in other words, that when you're doing applications of blood to the mizbeach, that you do have to pour the shirayim on the yisoid of that mizbeach. So the third time is telling you, in other words, that any time you're placing blood on the mizbeach achitzah, which is the case of a sur nosi, is that because that's a regular korban chatos, except for the fact that it's a male animal instead of a female, and the blood of it is applied to the mizbeach just like any regular chatos on the four corners of the outer mizbeach. So now the Torah is telling you, can you sur the mizbeach shalola? You make sure that you do the pouring of the shirayim on the mizbeach of the oila, and that would apply. It actually explains the point is that means not just the oila, it means any korban where the blood is put on the outer mizbeach, you need to also afterwards pour the shirayim onto the yisod. Tosfos on Amud Beis has a long, long discussion about this. Is that actually what it means? They have a bunch of questions. And Rashi's excellent. Now, Rashi also explains the reason why, Rashi explains why do we need to say that, is because when it comes to bringing an oila, The Torah never tells us in so many words that the shirayim of an oila have to be poured on the yisod. The Torah tells us you shech the oila, you do the kabbalah, you do the zrika, etc. You cut up the animal, you offer it on the mizbeach, etc. It never says by the oila anything about pouring the shirayim. So how would we know that you have to pour the shirayim? So there, we learn it from here where it says that yisod mizbeach ha'oila. That it means, in other words, that the ola, as well as all other korbanos, where the blood is applied to the outer mizbeach, you have to pour out the shirayim. That's the point of Rashi. Now, Tosfos, again, Tosfos on Amud Beis is a long Tosfos that takes up most of the Amud that discusses this point. They have a lot of questions on Rashi about why we should need to learn that from this pasuk. For one thing, we had earlier in the previous parak, we learned that you had a pasuk with damas v'checha yishofik, the blood of your korbanos should be poured on the mizbeach, and from that we learned the concept of shpichas shirayim. Or we had a different limud from the word bidom. And here the Gemara is not bringing any of that. And then Tosfos has a whole bunch of other questions. On if we're going to say that this pasuk is referring to the oila and the other korbanos. Another thing is why specifically mention the oila? Mention some other korban, and ultimately we're learning them all from a kavah choymer, which is the Gemara is going to say over here. So Tosfos gives a couple of possibilities. First, Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chaim that in fact, fine, it is like Rashi is saying, but we're learning from it only the oila. The other korbanos, yeah, we can learn from Vadam Zvachachi Yishofet. But that pasuk, Vadam Zvachachi Yishofet, continues, Vahabosar Toiko, and you should eat the meat of the korban. So very well, that applies to korbanos that are eaten. But an oila, by definition, is not eaten. So therefore, Rabbeinu Chaim says, you need our pasuk over here. Now, Yisod Mizbech Oila, to tell us that the Oila is in the same category and the Shirayim are also poured on the Yisod. And then Tosfos goes into ins and outs and explain and discussing that explanation and then various possible questions and resolutions on that. Then Tosfos says another answer, what the Gemara means, Ten Yisod Mizbech Shal Oila, means that when you do the sprinklings of the oila, now an oila, and most korbanos you do matzvotin, you do shtei matzonos shein arba, as we're going to learn later on in our panel. Namely, you go to one corner of the mizbeach with the basin of blood, and you dash the blood. You splash from the keli onto the corner of the mizbeach, so that the blood goes on two adjacent sides of the mizbeach. Then you go to the opposite corner and do the same thing. So you have shtei matonis, two applications, shehein arba, but it results in four because you end up with blood on all four sides of the mizbeach. Now, how do we know which corners to use for that purpose? Later on, we're going to talk about, when we talk about the configuration of the yisod, that the southeastern corner of the mizbeach does not have a yisod. So again, we said the yisod goes around the western side and around the northern side, and it sticks out a little bit towards the south and towards the east, but there's no yisod on the southeastern corner. So therefore, Tosfos' third explanation is that the Gemara is saying that when it comes to the oila and other korbanos that are like it, that have shnei matanos shnei arba, then it means that the applications have to be done on corners that have a yisod below them. So therefore, since that automatically cuts out the southeast corner because that has no yisod, then automatically it also cuts out the northwest corner because it has to be two opposite corners. So therefore, the only things that can be then there, that leaves us then, it has to be the southwest and northeast corners, and those are the two on which you sprinkle it. And then according to that, then Tosfos goes on to discuss then the continuation of the Gemara would also have to mean something different. So we'll learn through the next few lines of the Gemara, and then we'll talk about, according to that explanation of Tosfos, what's going on here. So again, we have three explanations. We have Rashi's explanation that we're learning ten yisod mizbeach shel oila means that the oila, as well as all korbanos, have to have their blood sprinkled on the yisod, which otherwise we would not have known. According to Rabbeinu Chaim, it's specifically by the oila. Other korbanos we know for different pasuk. And according to Tosfos, the third explanation, it tells us that when you're sprinkling the blood of the oila, it has to be over corners, both of which have a yisod underneath them, therefore excluding the southeast corner, and therefore of necessity excluding the northwest corner. So the Braisa continues, Oy eina ela mizbecha shel oila liya liyisod. Maybe not. Maybe what the pasuk is telling you. Maybe the pasuk is just telling you that the sprinkling of the blood of an oila has to be on corners that are above the yisod. Now, according to Tosfos, his third explanation, this is exactly what the Gemara meant by ten yisod, them is the actual oila. So Tosfos will have to understand that then in that case, the question, the point of the question is different. Maybe it means that only by an Ola and not by, maybe it means this concept would apply only to an Ola and not to other Korbanos. Let's deal according to Rashi's explanation. So again, according to Rashi's explanation, the Gemara had said, 10 Yisodim is the actual Ola, means that all Korbanos, Ola as well as all other Korbanos, have to have the Shirayim poured on the Yisod, where again, it doesn't say it by Ola, so we need to be told that, and then it automatically it applies to all the other Korbanos. So now, the Braisa is asking, that how do you know, maybe the Pasuk by telling you, Yisod Mizvah Ola, is telling you that the sprinklings themselves have to be on corners that have a Yisod. And the answer is, Amr Rabbi Shmuel, Kava Choymer. Rabbi Shmuel says, I don't need a posik for that because I can learn that by Kava Choymer. Ma Shirayim She'en Mechaperin, Madach the Shirayim of a Chatas, which are not Mechaper, because it's the four applications of blood to the corners of the Mizbeach that are Mechaper when it comes to a Chatas. The Shirayim is considered only a sort of a leftover of the mitzvah. You don't have to do it. That we, in Le'nosan Le'ikiv, the Korban is still kosher without it. So the pouring of the Shirayim is not Me'akiv. and it's not the active, and therefore it's not machafer to unin yisoid, and nevertheless they have to be poured on the yisoid, as the pasuk clearly says. So then, tchilas ola. So then, when it comes to the beginning of the application of blood of an ola, shemachaperes, where that actually accomplishes the kapara, whatever it is that an ola is supposed to be machaper for, a mitzvah saseh, a mitzvah loisaseh, that nitzek laeseh, etc. Here in aveira, whatever the application of the blood of the ola is what's machaper. So then, ein adin should t'una yisoid. How much more so that it should require to be done above the yisoid. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says, I don't need the pasuk to be telling us that, and therefore, automatically, the shtei matana shtei na'ava of an ola have to be done on corners that both have a yisoid, opposite corners that both have a yisoid, therefore excluding the south, east, and the northwest. So I don't need the pasuk for that, and therefore the pasuk is available to tell me, like we said before, that an ola and all other korbanos have to have their blood poured on the yisoid. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva says, I'm going to learn differently. There is a Kavah Choymer, but I'm going to learn the Kavah Choymer differently. Ma Shirayim She'en Mechaperin Ve'en Boin L'Kahara. Madach the Shirayim of Achakas, which are not Mechaper, like you said, Rabbi Shmuel, but they're not even coming for Kapara. What does that mean? The Gemara is going to explain on Daf Nun Beis what Rabbi Akiva means by that. Nevertheless, Tu'unin Yisoid, nevertheless, they have to be poured on the Yisoid. Tchilas Ola, the beginning, the actual sprinkling of the blood of an Ola, Shemachaperes, Ubol Kapara, it is Mechaper, and it does come for Kapara. How much more so that it should require being poured on the Yisoid? Now, it sounds like Rabbi Akiva is saying the same thing as Rabbi Shmuel. He's just saying it in different words. So why is he doing that? So the Gemara is going to deal with on Daf Nun Beis when we go through the Braisa in more detail. Then the Gemara is going to explain. Then the Gemara is going to explain exactly what the difference is between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva's opinions. So either way, Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva, I'm saying you can learn that point from a Kavah Choymer, and therefore the pasuk that you said Mizbach Ola must be teaching us that the Shirayim of an Ola has to be poured on the Yisoid. So the Gemara says, "Im kein matam adlema yisoid mizvach ha'ola." So what are we learning from those words? It means, as we said before, ten yisoid the mizbeach hashal ola. Make sure that the blood of the ola goes on the yisoid of the mizbeach. So thus far the braisa. So now. So now we're going to start analyzing the braisa. But first, Tosfos deals with the third opinion, the third explanation, that according to them, ten yisoid the mizbeach shel ola meant that the blood has to be sprinkled on corners that have a yisoid. So then Tosfos says, in that case, what it means is that, so it means ten yisoid the mizbeach shel ola, they have to go on corners that have a yisoid. And you don't need to say that by a chatos because by a chatos anyway, you're putting on all four corners. But then you would say maybe el oy eina el mizbeach shel ola yehevi yisoid. Maybe davka and ola does not apply to. Maybe not other korbanos. And so the Gemara is going to analyze and show how it's not so, that the pasuk doesn't say that it applies only to an ola. It applies to all korbanos that are brought on the mizbeach. And then the Gemara is going to deal with what part of the yisoid it has to go on. So according to that explanation of Tosfos, the Gemara, the braisa, ten yisoid, the mizbeach shel ola, meant that in fact you do have to put it on corners that have the yisoid. And the question was, how do we know it doesn't apply only to an ola? And the answer is that we have a Kavah Choymer, and the Gemara is going to analyze how we know it doesn't apply only to an ola. So Omar Mar, so we said in the Braisa, oh, yisoid mizbeah Mizbech HaOlam, really. The law you said Mizbech HaPnimi. The first limud we said was that you put it on the Yisod of Mizbech HaOlam, meaning not the Yisod of Mizbech HaPnimi. The question is, don't you need, what do you mean? How can you darshan anything from that? You need that just for itself to tell you that the Shirei Adam have to go on the Mizbech HaChitzen. So maybe it means that you should put them on the Mizbech HaChitzen, but if you want, you can put them instead on the Mizbech HaPnimi. Now, Rashi points out, the second limud tells us that the Yisod, that the Mizbech HaPnimi doesn't have a Yisod in the first place, so obviously there's nothing to put it on, but we don't know that yet. The only reason we say that the second one means the Mizbech HaPnimi does not have a Yisod is only because we already have the first pasuk that says don't place any blood there. If we didn't have that first pasuk, we might well think that the Mizbech HaPnimi has a Yisod, and you could, in fact, put the blood on there if you wanted to, and it would be logical. You put the rest of the blood up further up on that Mizbech, now you should put the rest of it on the lower half of that same Mizbech. So the question is that the first time it says, oh, you said Mizbech HaOla is needed with Gufo to tell us, don't think to put it on the inner Mizbech. And the answer is, Me'asha Pesach Oyo Moed Nafka, because you don't need that, because the Pasuk continues and says the Mizbech, which is by the entrance of the Oyo Moed, and that's obviously the Mizbech HaChitzen, the Mizbech HaOla. So therefore, we don't need to be told the words of Yisod Mizbech HaOla, and therefore we can use that for the Jerusha, that it means do not place them on the Mizbech HaPnimi, even if hypothetically you thought that the Mizbech HaPnimi had a Yisod. Okay, so Brai said, continued, oh, Yisod Mizbech HaOla, can you serve the Mizbech HaOla? The Brai said, continued, that when it says the third time, oh, Yisod Mizbech HaOla, means give the rule of a Yisod for the Mizbech of an Ola. Again, the three explanations, the one explanation of Rashi, that it means an Ola and all other Korbanos have to have the Shirayim poured on the Yisod. According to Rabbeinu Chaim, only the Ola, everything else, all other Korbanos, we know from a different pasuk. And according to Tosfos' second answer, it means that maybe this concept of putting it on corners that have a Yisod applies only to the Ola. So we're saying that no, I mean, it applies to all of them. So why is that? The If it meant only as the pasuk says, that it just means that the din by sur nasi is just to tell us that you have to pull the blood on the yisod. Then hani lomali krov. Then why would we need the pesukim by the other two? Why would we need the first two? It could have said oh yisod is there by all of them. You would say the shirayim. Is it coming to tell us? Are you telling us that the shirayim of the korban of the nasi have to be put on the mizbeach? You don't need shirayim. Always the shirayim are being placed on the outer mizbeach. What are you going to say? In this case, the korban itself, the korban of the nasi is being brought outside. What would we think? That after doing the applications of blood to the outer mizbeach, we should bring the shirayim and pour them inside? Well, why would we think that? Obviously not. So therefore, it could have just said, So if it just meant to tell us that the shirayim of the sur nasi have to be poured on the outer mizbeach, there was no reason to even say the words of yisod mizbeach ha'ola. It could have just said yisod mizbeach, and obviously we realize there's a korban that was brought outside. Of course, the shirayim go outside. Why did it say yisod mizbeach ha'ola? Must be for the drasha that we said ten yisod mizbeach ha'ola. Okay, the Gemara says v'chi tema, so you might think, without the pasuk telling you, would think maybe the apta fnepa. Maybe the pasuk is telling you flip things around. Debroi legavoi u degavoi lebroi. Maybe you would think, fine, a korban where the blood is done on the inner mizbeach, such as the pyre coin bottle, then the Torah is telling you take the shirayim and pour it on the outer mizbeach. And maybe the other way around, you would say maybe the Torah is telling you a korban that was brought outside, you should bring the shirayim inside and pour them over there. No, emo yisod b'pnimi asmi. We already said the second time that it says, oh, yisod mizbeach ha'ola, tells us that the inner mizbeach doesn't even have a yisod, so there's no way that you could think that it means that. Therefore, we're left with the only logical thing to say, so therefore, in other words, so we don't need the pasuk to be telling us, don't bring the shirayim in and pour it on the yisod of the mizbeach ha'pnimi, because there is no yisod in the mizbeach ha'pnimi. So therefore, of necessity, it has to be poured on the yisod of mizbeach ha'chitzen. So therefore, the pasuk wouldn't have to tell us that. And the reason it tells us that is to tell us ten yisod the mizbeach shel ola, that it applies to the ola and all other korbanos, or to the ola only, etc., according to the different explanations. Okay. So that's how we're able to learn that. Fine. Now let's do. Tosfos points out, by the way, that now there is a din. The Torah tells us that if you bring the blood of a chatas chitzona into the heifel, then the chatas becomes posel and you can't eat it. You have to burn it. Rabbi Akiva, later on in the Masech, the Tosfos points out, holds that that would apply to all blood that was brought in there, even if you didn't bring it in, l'chafer specifically. So that being the case, how can the Gemara even entertain the possibility that you might bring the blood of the chafer of the Nasi inside, then the Korban would become possible? And the answer is that the Shiraim, after all, are not l'chafer, according to Rabbi Akiva, as the Gemara is going to explain, as we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and therefore even Rabbi Akiva would agree that bringing the Shiraim in would not possible the Korban once the blood was sprinkled on the Mizeh Hachitzin property. So the Gemara is going to go through continuing and analyzing the Braisa. We'll do one more piece to explain what part of the Yisoid. The Braisa had said, we had said in the Braisa that maybe the words El Yisoid Mizbach Ola doesn't teach us that the Ola and all of the Korbanos have to have their blood poured on the Yisoid. Maybe it teaches us that the sprinklings have to be done on a part of the Mizbeach that has Yisoid beneath it. Or as Tosfos has said, that maybe it means that it applies not only to the Ola but all of the Korbanos. So the Braisa had said, so the question is on that, why would we think that? Miksiv or Yisoid HaOla, after all, does the Pasuk say to the Yisoid of the Ola, where then it would imply that this is something special about the Ola, or something from which we can learn from the Ola to other Korbanos, or Yisoid Mizbach HaOla. The fact is, the Pasuk says, to the Yisoid of the Mizbeach HaOla. So we're saying that all korbanos have their ola and all korbanos have their blood poured on the yisoid. So why would we think that it means that it's telling us about where the applications of blood themselves go? So Rashi also adds, the question is, if you were to say that it means that the Shirayim, if you were to say that the words El Yisod Mizbach Ola teach us that you have to pour all Shirayim of all Korbanos, then okay, and that's what we're saying, that's what we darshan from it, that explains why it says Mizbach Ola. But if you were to say that it's talking about where the sprinklings, that the Shtei Matana Shrein Arba is done, then why would you say that it means that the Keneged HaYisod should apply to all blood that's placed on the Mizbeach HaChitzin? After all, a Chatos is an exception to that, because a Chatos, it's taken and daubed on all four corners. So therefore, of necessity, it must mean that the Pasuk is talking specifically about the Ola, and then it could have said HaYisod HaOla, and therefore why did it say HaYisod Mizbeach HaOla means to tell us that all Korbanos, without exception, the Shirayim is poured on the Yisod. And again, according to Tosfos, there's different other explanations, and we have different other ways of understanding this piece, and we listed this line in the Gemara. But the Gemara says no, because Ihab Ksiv El Yisoid HaOla. No, because you could after all say that if it said El Yisoid HaOla without the word, if it didn't say the word Mizbah, you might have thought Hab Amin Biskifa El Yisoid, that it means that you should pour the blood onto the vertical, onto the wall of the Mizbeah, and it'll dribble down to the Yisoid. Rashi explains, that you should do it on the vertical part of the Yisoid itself. The Yisoid itself is a ledge that sticks out at the bottom of the Mizbeach. It goes up one amma from the floor, and then it goes in one amma, and from that point up, the Mizbeach is narrower. It narrows as it goes up, as we'll learn about the shape of it later in the parashah. So there's the vertical part of the Yisoid, the one amma that goes up, and then there's the horizontal part where it goes one amma in. If you didn't have the words, or you said Mizbach HaOla, then you would think that where do you pour the blood? On the vertical part of the Yisoid, and it dribbles directly onto the floor. You would have thought, but now that it says to the Yisoid of the Mizbeach HaOla, that means it has to be on the part of the Yisoid, which is like the Mizbeach, agagoy the Yisoid, namely on the roof, on the horizontal part of the Yisoid, which is attached to the Mizbeach. So therefore, we need the word Yisoid Mizbach HaOla to teach us that point. And otherwise, we would have thought that maybe you put it on the vertical side of the Yisoid. Tosfos discusses this point and says that it may not mean that. It may mean, in other words, that the Gemara had brought up the possibility. Maybe it means that, after all, if you put it on the wall of the Mizbeach and it dribbles down to the Yisoid, that's certainly better, because then you're literally putting it on the Mizbeach. But we're saying at least that if you're going to put it directly on the yisoid, then it should be on the gag. It should just be that you're not going to do it on the vertical part. You could put it on the gag, on the roof of it, but it might be even better if you do it on the wall and it dribbles down to the roof of the yisoid and then eventually goes, either way, eventually it goes into the shisin, into the holes that are carved into the yisoid over there. It goes into the underground tunnels that go out, that drain out into Nahal Kidron and so forth. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. The Gemara is going to continue analyzing the Braisa and explain. We had Rabbi Shmuel's Kalachomer and we had Rabbi Akiva's Kalachomer to learn that the blood of the Ola has to be placed on corners that have a Yesod, and they both use the Kalachomer for that. But they use almost the exact same wording. So what is the actual difference between them? So we'll deal with that. So we'll deal with that in tomorrow's Dash Es Hashem, and we'll continue talking about this matter of pouring out the Shirayim and what exactly is the deal with it.